Welcome, everyone, to episode 6 of The Bon Bon Show. Today is April 27th, 2025, and I am one of your hosts, Aaron. Later this year, both Kirk and I will be adventuring into the Japanese Language Proficiency Exam, the JLPT, specifically the N3 exam on Sunday, December 7th. And there is no better way to study for this exam than having someone else to encourage you along the way and share their study tools. So, today, that's exactly what we are going to do.
Hello, Aaron. Learning Japanese is not easy. It takes time, energy, and dedication, and so much more. I have a love-hate relationship with the JLPT that I'll probably share more about in a later episode of the Bon Bon Show. But today, we are here to share some JLPT study tools with you, our listeners. Hopefully, we both can pass the JLPT this December and move on to the JLPT N2.
Ganbarimashou.
Ganbarimashou. All right, so what is the JLPT? Like, I've been mentioning that a lot. Can you tell us more about the JLPT, Aaron, and why is it worth taking?
Yeah, the JLPT, I guess, has been officially around since 1984, based on my little bit of reading. It's hosted by,
Ooh,
or it's offered by, I guess, yeah, by the Japan Foundation and the Japan Educational Exchange and Services area there in Japan. So mm-hmm. the main purpose is to evaluate and certify people based on their Japanese proficiency of non-native speakers. So if you're a non-native speaker, you can take the JLPT. If you're a native speaker of Japanese, then you cannot. And really, it's just to provide every individual kind of like a set point or a checkpoint of how their Japanese studies are going. So initially, it starts at N5, which is the beginning examination, and then it goes through N4, N3, N2, and N1, being the most difficult. I would say the beginning levels, like N4, N5, N4, are there mainly, I guess this is from my perspective, more of like checkpoints for an individual to see how they've been doing on their self-studies, if they're doing it on their own, or if they're going to classes or taking some at, you know, their junior high or, you know, high school or university or whatever their classroom setup is, just to see how they're doing on a proficiency. And then as you get to N3, like Kirk and I will be taking, that's kind of the middle ground, where based on my knowledge, a lot of companies don't really care if you have N3 or not, for working.
Unfortunately.
But it is a good, sorry, go ahead.
I said, unfortunately, they don't care for N3. They want N2 and above.
Yeah, for sure. I think N3 is like this middle child where you're like, you're on your way, but you're just haven't really gotten to the cusp of making it into the big world yet. And so
you're
that's
not the firstborn and you're not the eldest. So you're just the middle child. No one cares.
Yeah. Yeah. You're the awkward one. That's just like twiddling your thumbs, trying not to get into trouble. That's where we're at in our Japanese language abilities. And then for those that are looking into getting into certain professions in Japan or move to Japan, go to, you know, certain schools in Japan, depending, are looking to take, you know, N2 for sure. And then depending on what their end goal is, then N1. So depending on what your career aspirations are in Japan, or even just using the Japanese language, the Japanese language proficiency test is because it's officially recognized. And if you can prove your score, then you can use those sorts of scores on your applications when you're applying for university or you're applying for a job or you're applying for, you know, permanent residency or something like that to live in Japan. So that's usually the main driver for an individual to take those examinations at the higher levels. But at the lower levels, I would say it's just for an individual to build their confidence and have, you know, a goal to work towards and then accomplish that goal and then set the next goal as, you know, working towards N4, for example, or N3. And so it's just nice to evaluate yourself at certain times as you go forward and whether you pass or fail, I think it's always good to know kind of where you stand. And failure is not a bad thing, especially in regards to learning Japanese. We fail all of the time, and failure is usually where we find ourselves learning the most about where we need to be, where we're headed, and we work on those things. So for those that are planning to take the JLPT, whether it's your first time or, you know, your seventh time, regardless, your failures are just as important as your successes are. So that would be my little key reminder to you is don't beat yourself up too much. If you don't pass the JLPT exam on your first try, you've learned something by taking it. And then you can take that with you on your next attempt. So that's my quick little rundown of what the JLPT examination is. And Kirk, have you ever taken the JLPT exam previous to this year?
Oh, yes. I'm glad you said your little bit about encouraging people who have failed the JLPT multiple times, because, whoa, my history with the JLPT. I have taken it a couple times. The JLPT N5, as you mentioned, is the easiest one, which I managed to pass, I think, after a little bit over a year, living in Japan. I actually just took it to see, like, what kind of progress I had made, like, being fully exposed to a Japanese-speaking environment. I had learned a little basic Japanese before coming to Japan. My, like, jiko shokai or introduction, I'd learned hiragana and most of katakana, but, like, not many kanji, and just, like, basic sentences like my name, where I work, my age, stuff like that, which you speak at, like, half the speed that you should have for native speakers. So that was a shock. I was like, yeah, I know Japanese. I'm going to Japan. I get here and I'm like, watashi wa namae. And everyone is like, dude, are you having a stroke?
But I'm okay.
Yeah, so I passed the JLPT N5 from self-studying. And then I wanted to move up to the N4, so I tried to, like, self-study for that. But that didn't go too well. Let me not say it didn't go too well. It's like I hit a plateau, I guess, in my Japanese language ability. I wasn't failing by much. I was literally failing by, like, 5 points, 3 points, 1 point in one case.
Oh, so close.
And I was like, I don't know, I need some kind of additional help, which was when I got like a tutor that I saw once a week for literally 2 hours, and that made a world of a difference. So I think I passed the N4 on my fourth try.
And,
yeah, so because I'm in grad school now and stuff, the original plan was to do Japanese classes while in grad school, but the first year was crazy, and now I'm doing my research stuff. And they do have, like, classes and stuff on campus and at the town hall and at different places, but I feel like none of them really target the JLPT. And this is a little bit about, a little rant about my challenges with the JLPT, because living in Japan, I feel like the JLPT does not really prepare you for native Japanese speaking. I'm sorry. I don't know how to explain it. It's like textbook Japanese, not everyday Japanese. So it's weird.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. So, like, my everyday Japanese, I feel, is at a decent level for the years I've been here. You know, I can communicate in basic Japanese quite manageably. You know, like, there's some words that might go over my head, but I understand the context. But, like, if you ask me about my JLPT level being N4, you're like, oh, that's low level. You know what I mean? But I'm like, I've met people with N2, N1 who can't have a conversation in Japanese. You know what I mean? So I'm like, does JLPT really reflect your Japanese level? I don't know. But yeah. So yeah, I've taken N5 and I've passed N4. And I will be tackling the N3 with you in December. I'll be taking it in Japan. I'm guessing you'll be taking it in Canada. And we'll be cheering each other on. And we'll report to you or podcast listeners in a few months whether we've passed or not.
Hopefully it's a very joyous and celebratory podcast.
Yeah, or one of us passes and the other doesn't pass and we're like, oh god, this is embarrassing. But it's fine. I know we'll support each other and it will be fine.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. It's not easy. Like, some people try to say, oh, studying Japanese is easy or blah, blah, blah. It depends on so many things, as I said. Like, you know, I had to learn that. Again, thank you for your encouragement. It's like 3 years too late, but yeah, I took it, what you said earlier. Sometimes I thought like, oh my God, I'm trying to do this Japanese thing so hard and it's not working and I kept failing. But it's fine. Like, you have your own journey. It doesn't mean you're not studying enough or dedicating every hour of every day to studying Japanese, and that's the only way to pass. And I actually passed the N4 after just like relaxing and just letting the Japanese wash over me, and whatever I catch, I catch, and whatever I don't, I learn from, again, living in Japan and having so many tools to learn Japanese with. And that's the main purpose of our podcast today, to share 3 JLPT study tools that we have used and would recommend to you, or listeners of the Bon Bon Show, who are looking to take the JLPT at different levels, whether it be the lowest level N5 or the highest level JLPT N1, or somewhere in the middle like us. We have tools for you today. So tell me about the 3 tools that you recommend, and I'll share my 3 tools, and then we can go into them one by one alternatively.
Excellent. Yeah, right before I get into my 3 that I list, I wanted to just touch upon what you said about everyone being on their own journey, and I just wanted to reiterate that again. I remember I was doing some running last year, and I was listening to podcasts during my runs just to encourage me. And it was, one of them talked about how it's easy, regardless, it was in relation to running, but you could easily apply it to anything that you're doing, is when you're engaging in an activity, it's easy to start comparing to those that maybe excel better at you than you, or they just do it a little bit differently. It's easy to compare to somebody and then always make yourself feel bad that you're not at their level. And then sometimes you get overwhelmed by that and you don't progress, or because you're like, well, I can't get there, or I'm having a really tough time. So if I can't get there to where that person's at, then maybe I'm not worthy to even, you know, go down this journey. And it was just reiterating that everyone is on this journey. Your end goals might be the same, but everyone's journey to get there is going to be totally unique and unto themselves. And so it was just reminding me as much as possible to just avoid the comparisons between me and everybody else, and just to focus on what I need to do to eventually get there. And if it takes me longer, or if it takes me shorter, or if it takes me a really roundabout way that looks like squiggly lines on a piece of paper, but as long as you get there and you can, you know, take some successes along the way and learn from your failures, then that's the important part of it. So yeah, just like you said, just remind yourselves when you're struggling, or you're looking at YouTube and you see all these people with, you know, fantastic Japanese, and you go, oh, I'm not there, and you start getting down on yourself, just remember that you're on your own journey, and it's okay if you're taking a little bit longer or you're struggling with something. You'll just work on it at your own pace and you'll get there. And when you get there, you'll have that, you know, total euphoria, win, success feeling run over your body, and you'll, you know, do that fist pump, and then that will encourage you to keep going. So just, you know, focus on those little wins as you go along. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of touch upon what you had said there.
Nice. Nice advice.
In regards to the 3 items that I wanted to talk about today and introduce you to, and some of them you might already know of, or some of them are might be new. The first one I wanted to mention for those that are looking to study for N3, N2, and N1 is a website/YouTube video series referred to as Nihongo no Mori. So that's my first one. My second one would be Tofugu, which has been around a long time. Like, ever since I started studying Japanese on my own, Tofugu has been around. Their main Japanese tool, they do have like grammar points and textbook recommendations and cultural lessons, but they have a really cool tool called WaniKani, which is good for your kanji learning. So I wanted to bring that one to your attention. And then just the third one, it was just kind of just wanted to chat briefly about just podcasts in general and how you can use those to improve your listening skills. So those are the three that I wanted to touch on. What about you, Kirk? Yes. What are your three tools to share with the audience today?
Nice, nice. My three tools are actually a Japanese dictionary called Takoboto that I've been using for a while. I'll talk more about that in detail a little bit later as well. Another very popular one that I'm sure many of the listeners will know is Anki. Comes in different formats. I usually use it on my phone, but there's like a app for your PC, or you can use that your tablet and different ways. And then the third one, which was actually one of the breakthroughs I had when studying for the JLPT N4, was NHK Easy News, and I'll talk more yes. about that as well. So you said your first tool was Nihongo no Mori. Tell us more about that one.
Okay, yeah, I ran across Nihongo no Mori, I would say probably a few years ago, just on YouTube. I think at the time I was just looking to do some listening of some Japanese, because I was, I guess it's been a couple of years, at least 2 or 3 years since I took the N3 exam last. So I think that's when I ran across this particular channel. Spoiler alert, I did not pass the N3 exam, so that's why we'll be taking it again with Kirk this year. I think I got pretty close to passing, but just not enough to get that passing mark. So that's fine. It was a really good learning opportunity for me to learn what the experience was like in general, and then what types of questions were being asked. So this one, like I just previously mentioned, it's more focused for those that are looking to study N3 and above. They do have some content for N5 and N4. But I believe because a lot of that content is available elsewhere on the internet, this group has kind of just wanted to focus on more of that intermediate to advanced levels. So you can find, if you go to their YouTube channel, you'll be able to find a lot of their videos that you can just listen to. They do kanji videos, they do grammar videos, and it's really just focused on passing and taking the JLPT exams. And that's kind of what their main focus is on. If you're looking for more like casual conversations or regular, like daily life dialogue that's unrelated to JLPT, you probably won't find too much of that. Mm-hmm. But for those of us that are looking to take the test, then it's really focused and curated on that particular content. So I started there. They do have a... So the stuff on YouTube is free. They do have an app and a website that you can enroll in. They have like a 1 month program, a 6 month and a 1 year program. So there's additional content that you can use if you go through their, I guess, subscription plan. And they have a corresponding textbook that you can buy for the three different levels. So N3 has a textbook and so does N2 and N1. And that will take you through a lot of the grammar points, kanji, vocab, reading and listening exercises that you need to do leading up to the test that you're about to take. So I started the N3 program just very recently. So my experience with the formal subscription plan is quite new. So I don't have a lot of good feedback on that just yet. But just from the outset, they ask you if you want to kind of go through a 4 month training review or 6 months. So I'm taking the 6 month course or training plan. So you start off. Yeah, I thought, well, let's go for the slower one. We still have a bit more time, so I can kind of be a little bit more leisurely, not leisurely, but if I'm struggling with something, I have time to kind of spend more time to focus on that. And it takes you through some N5 review just to make sure that you're familiar and that you know all of the N5 vocab and grammar points. And then you go through N4, which is a lot bigger. And again, you go through the N4 vocabulary and grammar points. They just list them all out in like a huge PDF document. And then you just go through it on your own, about 200 items a day. And then, you know, if you know it, you do. If you don't know it, then I just write it down and then I'll just review that later or just look it up to make sure that I'm familiar with it and just, you know, start that process of remembering what those items are. And then after you've done all of the N5 and N4 review, then their training plan has you go through kanji. And then through kanji, you'll learn obviously the kanji, but then some additional vocab. So it's kind of, you know, dual parting, kanji and vocab. And then after that, it starts taking you through a lot of the grammar and listening and reading exercises, which I haven't touched upon yet in the program. So I'll be getting that over, getting to that into the next, you know, the few months.
Wow.
So far I like how it's very streamlined and focused on preparing you for the JLPT. But reminder, and as Kirk has mentioned before, studying for the JLPT is very focused on, you know, passing an exam, and that's really, really good knowledge to know. But it can be sometimes hard when you're so focused on kind of the more learning side of Japanese that when it comes to practically using it in a conversation, then it becomes a little bit more difficult. So always remember that when you're doing a lot of this review, if you have the ability to, you know, join a conversation class, or if you have like a community association wherever you're available, or if you're at university or high school, if you have some other friends that are taking Japanese with you, just try to put yourself out there and try to practice verbally as much as you can as well, just because the JLPT doesn't have any conversational type practice. It's all theory. And so just remember to incorporate some of that practice into your learning as well. Even though you won't be tested on it, having that additional practice of you speaking, I think helps us solidify a lot of the learning that you're doing on your own through these reviews. And the more that you use your grammar, the more that you use certain words and phrases, I think that's going to go into your long-term memory to help you on the exams going forward. So, yeah, I think... if you're interested in having more of like a set schedule on what you want to do and get you to the JLPT exam, you know, I would encourage you to take a look to see if Nihongo no Mori is a right fit for you. Give it a shot by checking out their YouTube first. And if you think you want to dive into their subscription on their website and app, then, you know, feel free to look that up. So yeah, that's my number, I wouldn't say that's my number one pick. That's just my, first pick for, helping individuals, prepare for the JLPT, mainly for those, again, that are looking for N3 levels and upwards.
Nice.
Let's hear about Takaboto Japanese Dictionary, Kirk.
Yes. So, Takaboto Japanese Dictionary, is my first recommendation. I have used many different dictionary apps over the years that I have been studying, fiddling, learning Japanese. But this one is the one that has been most intuitive for me. I've used so many. Todai and Mazi and Jisho and many other. Like, there is no shortage of Japanese dictionary apps and websites and tools out there. But I don't know, I keep going back to this app. I use it almost daily to search for words that I hear in conversation or just randomly on the train. I hear some kind of announcement and I don't know what they're talking about, or, you know, just different things. It basically breaks down the words and breaks it down into the kanji and gives you multiple phrases using the word that you have searched for, which to me is one of the top reasons why I like it, because you search for example, the color green or car or some other complicated word, but it gives you 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 or more sentences of how that word is used in different sentences. And they have the furigana in the sentences in case they use kanji that you're not really exposed to yet. So in a way, you are learning the word, you're learning the context of how the word is used, you're learning about the kanji, and you're also being exposed to words that, what do I say, expanding your vocabulary, looking at words that you might not interact with normally during your studies. One of the other features I like about it is that it has this lists feature where you can save words that you've searched for and kind of organize them in, what I say, categories, lists, themes. I have so many categories. Whether it's I'm playing through a video game, for example, and I want to save all the words I came across in that game, or I'm reading an article and I want to save the article, the words I saw in this particular article. So like I have one for like super important kanji that I really need to remember, or I'm trying to remember at a particular time. And so yeah, I can just go through these lists and say, okay, then I saw this place, I can use it in this way, and over time I feel like that is helpful. So whether I'm going through an NHK Easy News article and I see certain kanji that I want to remember, I can look at these lists and, make it easier to remember. So yeah, very cool dictionary, very amazing user interface. I've only used it on my phone, Android phone. I'm not sure if they have a website or and stuff like that, but it's just easy to have this powerful tool in your pocket, especially as you are trying to expand your vocabulary and learn new words. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I agree. And I think I remember you mentioning this one to me maybe a year or two ago. It was definitely a while, and since that time, this is the only dictionary that's been on my phone as well. So if I don't have my phone, I tend to go to G Show on the web just because that was just baked in my mind. But if I have my phone on me, then I'm going to this app that you recommended me. So definitely it's got Kirk's stamp of approval and my stamp of approval as well, now that he's passed it on to me.
Nice. How
So thank
about
you.
your second recommendation?
Yeah, Tofugu has definitely walked along me, or walked alongside me, or I've walked alongside it, I guess is a better way to say
You've
it.
walked together on the Japanese studying journey.
Since yeah, long time ago, I think the site has undergone lots of revisions and updates and just changes over the years. But it's been a very good one for those that are looking to study Japanese, from the very beginning. And they do have people that have taken the JLPT exam, and so understand that there's a lot of individuals studying Japanese and studying for that exam in particular. So sections of their website are dedicated to just grammar. So if you're struggling with certain grammar points, or you want to learn new grammar points, because that's kind of what's going to be on the exam that you're taking for your particular level, Tofuku and their grammar section, I would encourage you to go there. It's extremely, extremely detailed. So many different things that you'd be looking for are available there. So I would encourage you, if you're struggling with grammar or want to learn some of that. That from the other Japanese perspective, they have a whole bunch of pages that you can refer to and search from. So if you're looking for something specific, just go to their search bar and type in that topic, type in that word. And because the site is so deep in content over the years, I don't think they updated as much. I feel like they've gotten to the point where they've done what they've wanted to do. And so the updates don't come as often anymore, but the amount of content, and for the number of years that they were building, you'll likely find what you're looking for, and I hope you do. And so, from the grammar perspective and just Japanese in general perspective, very, very awesome website, and I encourage you to look at it, especially for those that are, more at the N5, N4, N3 levels. And the other piece that I wanted to mention that's, Tofugu adjacent is their kanji repetitive system, or repetitive learning system, which is called Wanikani. Something that I've used a lot. I kind of go, I ebb and flow in terms of my usage with it. I should increase my usage of it here soon, but they use the mnemonic system to space repetition to help you learn kanji. And they do it in their own tofugu style, where they use little like funny stories and they break down the kanji into like radicals. And then they help you memorize the radicals with like little funny stories to help you remember them. And then you take those stories throughout your journey of learning the kanji to learn the meanings, the different sounds, onyomi and kunyomi, and then the different meanings for the different kanji and then the pairings of those as well. That is a paid service. I paid for like the forever lifetime access, like long, long time ago. I was like in their alpha beta program for it. Like,
send us your password, Aaron.
Yes. I'll just share you my, share you my profile. They go, there's so many levels deep. I think it goes to like Oni, maybe even past Oni in terms of difficulty. So if you are looking to study the JLPT kanji, I think that's a really good way that's worked for me to learn it. Again, it doesn't, you're not learning how to write it. So if you are learning how to write, then you might want to find some textbooks, or you might want to grab some paper if you're using Wani Kani or something similar to help you memorize the stroke order and actually learn how to write. But if you're just focused on learning how to read and speak, then I think Wani Kani is a good option. I think the first few levels are free for you to try, and then if it's something you find that you like, then you can, I'm not sure what the tiers of access are anymore, if you buy like a 1 year or if it's still like the lifetime thing that I have. It's been so long, I don't recall. But it is a good thing that works well for me in terms of learning and memorizing the kanji, which I think Kirk will allude to in his number two of another option that you can use to help you learn kanji and vocabulary.
Yep. Tofugu, I think, started out as a blog. Again, I've been blogging for almost 20 years, and I remember Tofugu being in the blogging space for long, if not longer than me. And that's how I initially got connected to the site, and I remember they used to do like YouTube channels and stuff. Like, yeah, it's been like so nostalgic. And then Wani Kani came afterwards, and I remember the beta test, I think I participated as well way back, and I should have an account, but I don't know, I don't do well with SRS space repetition type stuff. I don't know if my brain is just not wired that way. I get burnt out easily. But yeah, cool service. I do highly recommend it as well. And I should probably dust off that account and get back into it. Another
see
account,
if it works out.
Yeah, that I've dusted off recently was my Anki account. Anki is similar to Wani Kani in some ways. I use it on my phone, and it's also a SRS system where you study different things Japanese related per day, specifically the JLPT, and it kind of keeps track of what you've studied, when was the last time you studied it, and kind of keeps it fresh using their own background system. Yes, my background is in IT, but I don't like to explain technical stuff. But yeah. Anki is like this tool that I've actually been using on and off maybe for the longest during my Japanese study journey. I have this deck, this full Japanese study deck that has everything, kanji, grammar, hiragana, katakana, vocabulary from the N5 all the way up to N1. And as I said, I usually can't stay committed to these, I guess the basic, you can call it, is like flashcard apps. It's not interesting or stimulating for me, but like, I don't know, Anki, something about it. I have this full Japanese study deck, and right now I'm reviewing N4 stuff, and occasionally I'll review some hiragana and katakana as well to keep my brain going. It has kanji, grammar, vocabulary separated into different levels for, again, N5 to N1. And you know, it's good sometimes to go back and check on some N5 stuff and some N4 stuff just to kind of realize like, okay, fine. I am past this level. I'm comfortable with these grammar points. Let me challenge myself and touch on some N3 stuff. So that's basically what I've been doing. And what I like about it as well is that I can use it on the train, I can use it on the bus, I can use it before going to bed, I can use it on the toilet. Sorry, TMI. But it's one of those things where like I'm like that. Like I've got some downtime. I don't want to dedicate 2 or 3 hours to sitting down at a desk to air quote study Japanese, but I'm on a Shinkansen train ride that's going to take 1 hour or 2. Let me do some of this, or I'm on the bus, etc. So I found that Anki has been the best for me, and I use it on my phone, and I'm currently reviewing N4, and I'm gonna be touching on N3 stuff maybe from June. So yeah, Anki. I probably will try to link the full Japanese study deck that I'm using in the show notes. Please scream at me if I don't do that later, Aaron. And yeah, that's my second recommendation. I didn't even realize it was so similar to your second recommendation with Wanikani.
Yeah, and I think probably most language learners have some sort of SRS, whether it's a digital one or they use flashcards. I guess with flashcards, you would have to like set your own piles of, what you found easy and what you found medium and hard to remember, and then review those at whatever increments you wanted to. But I think, yeah, all of us, I mean, how do you learn all of the words and kanji?
Exactly.
That's probably the most common way. I don't know, like you, it depending on what it is, it works sometimes, but some vocabulary based on their topic that it's related to is just so hard for me to remember, because I'm like, I'm not even interested in this in English. So like, how do I get interested in this in Japanese and remember these terms and
Yeah, I've never heard
kanji?
this kanji grammar point before. Like, what the hell? No one speaks like that, but it's on the JLPT, and there's gonna be like 2 or 3 questions related to that. That's like 7 or 8 points, possibly. You better learn that.
Exactly. So it's either it works really well or just things I don't like, then it's more difficult. But sometimes you just gotta push through and do your best. And I mean, yeah, you can be like, well, I'll just take the L on this little section and hopefully it doesn't come to bite me.
Yeah, I feel it. But yeah, the final not well the number three recommendation for us from us for JLPT study tools. What is your number three spot, Aaron?
Yeah, the last thing I wanted to just talk about was just listening. I know the other piece that I mentioned, Nihongo no Mori, definitely has like the YouTube videos and listening. But that listening tends to be very more like learning, as in here's a grammar point or here's a kanji and some examples are around it. And so it's not as natural, it's more educational. And so wanted to just bring upon just listening to podcasts in general, like Japanese podcasts. And so there's a few, and I can just list them a few out that I listen to. And these ones are more just your casual conversation type Japanese. And again, it may or may not fit within what you're learning for the JLPT, but I think the more that you can kind of have the more formal JLPT listening experience, and then a more casual, like how you would actually hear people speak Japanese in an everyday situation, can be an asset to you in the exam. But also, when you start to speak Japanese and listen to Japanese, whether you're traveling there or you're back at home speaking with your Japanese friends or people that you meet, I think it's just good to kind of well round your listening experience with just not like the classroom setting Japanese, but the real life situation Japanese.
Definitely. Real life Japanese.
So, some of the podcasts that I listen to, and if you want to search these ones up after, definitely take a look. Some of them you might not like, some of them will work. Some of them are at various levels. One of them is Azumi's Easy Japanese Small Talk. So that's a really good one. And they range, they usually upload. Some of them are monthly, some of them are weekly. The next one is Easy Japanese Podcasts. The next one would be, this one's a little bit more difficult. This is for those that are going from an N3 and higher Japanese proficiency examination. This one's called Haru no Nihongo. So that one's a little bit more, high level Japanese. Another one that I like is called Yuyu no Nihongo. And the last one I wanted to mention is Nihongo with Akko. So we can post the links for those ones as well. Kirk, I can send those to you and we can attach them just for references. There's probably a ton of Japanese podcasts that you can listen to for learning, but these are just the ones that I stumbled across over time and added to my subscription list. So yeah, give them a check, see if they work for you. Put them on in the background when you're doing something at home, or you just need something to do while you're walking or going for a run or in the gym or in your car. And again, you don't have to actively be listening to it. I mean, that helps, but even if it's just playing on the background and you're just picking up words here and there, it will all provide benefit to you in the long run. So maybe not JLPT specific. Some of them are, some of them aren't. But I think that listening exercise is just stretches your ears a little bit each and every day that you can take a listen. And I think when you get to Japan, I think this will help you, benefit you when you speak to people in Japan or whoever, and you'd be like, oh, this is more the more casual side of things and not so JLPT-ish that I'm learning in the textbooks.
Exactly.
So you're just having that well-rounded learning experience.
Okay.
And yeah, what about you, Kirk? What's the final thing on your list?
I just wanted to say, like, the podcasting stuff is something that I wanted to incorporate more in my, how do I say, learning and listening experience in Japanese. So I actually will be checking out a couple of those podcasts myself as well. Maybe
Sweet.
I can listen to them while cycling to school, or again while on the train, etc. Before bed,
Yeah.
just to kind of expose and repeat some of the things that I am learning to see how they are used. So you study these things in the textbook, but like, how are they applied in the real world? And listening and hearing them repeatedly will hopefully help them to stick in your brain. So thank you. I will also benefit from those podcast recommendations.
Yay, you're welcome.
Okay. My last recommendation for JLPT study tools is NHK Easy News. Again, this is another big one. NHK Easy News is basically regular news, but in Japanese, posted on the NHK Easy News website. Like, it's really easy to find. Just Google NHK Easy News. It's actual news and current events that are happening now. That is in basic, simple Japanese. I think about the N3 level, is like right at that sweet spot with the grammar and stuff and the kanji used. It also has the furigana that you can get, and you can easily like print it out and go through it and stuff. It's really, really, really awesome, especially for improving your reading. A lot of our examples have, covered listening or speaking and writing. Of course, you're gonna have to do with like worksheets and stuff, but like reading Japanese is still so hard for me. You know what I mean? So like, I think there was like a 1 month stretch when I was doing the N4 where I religiously read through four or five articles on the NHK News Easy News website per week. And that was just like, I could actually see, I could notice the improvement in my reading speed and pronunciation and just understanding words and pacing. And yeah, so what I usually do is like, I print the article out and then I try to read it one off to see how much of it I can understand, take some notes to say, okay, then I read this news about, I don't know, a new, I think it was during the COVID time. So a lot of the articles I read was about COVID and new vaccines and stuff. And like, how much of that did I understand? Do I know the word for vaccine and injection and needle and timeline and stuff like that? And then I would go through the article a second time, slower, just kind of picking out and understanding what every word means. And then I'd also check the grammar points. So I'd study these grammar points in N4, but like how many of them can I identify in the article? And basically, like I'd go through the article 3 or 4 times. So by the end, when I read it again, now understanding the grammar, the vocabulary, the pacing, etc., it always felt so good to say, okay, then an hour ago, when I started reading this, I only understood 20%. But now, an hour later, I'm able to understand so much more. And these new words have been introduced in my vocabulary in a more natural, everyday usage type of way. So yeah, check it out. NHK Easy News, excellent for reading practice.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good one. And I've used it a little bit, but I don't know why I fell off from using it, 'cause I was like, this is awesome. You get to learn what's going on in Japan today. So it's just keeping you up to date in news and current events, and then you're also learning and practicing your Japanese at the same time. So it's like win-win-win.
Yep.
And yeah, I don't know why I fell off from using this, but I think it's a really, really good tool. And like Kirk said, vocabulary is just really, really important. And any way that you can learn it in different contexts. So learning in a textbook is one way in that one situation, but seeing it in a real life and how it's being used in a real life situation and in the news and how it's being displayed and represented there just gives you another layer to help you memorize and recollect these types of grammar, kanji and vocabulary going forward. So yeah, that's a really, really good one.
But yeah, I think we are coming to the end of episode 6 of the Bonbon Show, JLPT Study Tools. Today, Aaron and I shared various tools we use to study Japanese and specifically studying for the JLPT. We will be taking the JLPT N3, both of us, in December 2025, and I really hope we pass.
Yes, let's do this together. Let's pass. You got this.
All right.
And if you have any suggestions on any tools that you like to use that you would like to pass on to us or other audience members, feel free to throw that in the comments if you're watching on YouTube.
All right. Thank you, everyone. This has been episode 6 of the Bonbon Show. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, everyone. Matane.